Welcome to Definitely Something About Football.
I'm Jay Hump.
And this is Rob. And today we are going through all of the fantasy relevant players in the NFC.
Yep, so we're just going to do a preview of each of the divisions and how we feel about the fantasy prospects of each of the teams.
That sounds pretty good to me.
Yeah, that sounds fun.
Let's kick it off with the hottest division in the NFC. That's got to be the NFC South.
Yeah, man, you had three teams from the playoffs last year, so you know there's going to be superstars. So before we get started, let's talk a little bit of how we're going to rate the players personally. I have like four tiers of players. Mm-hmm. I have the you're always going to play them no matter what. If they're questionable but they're going to play, you're going to play them. The only time you don't play those players are if they're literally out, and then you still watch until game time just to make sure.
So that's like your Antonio Brown.
Oh, yeah, your first-round picks. Yeah. Like
Todd Gurley.
Yeah, yeah, exactly, those type players. And then you have your very good players, like you're happy you have them, but you'll watch them. If their performance starts slipping, you might, you know, swap them out, or they might be trade bait if they're doing really well and you think you get some value, those type players, like the tier 2-ish type players. That's what I would call them, the average, or a little above average Joes, I guess.
Yeah, your staples.
Yeah, your staples. Yeah, that's a good one. Yeah, we'll call them the staples. Mm-hmm. And then my next tier would be like your lottery picks, like the guys that no way you're playing these on a normal basis. But if you feel like you can't win with your normal team and you just need someone to get you a 15-point game, and they can, but most of the time they're going to get you a 3-point game. Those are your lottery tickets.
Mm-hmm.
And then you got your like bottom of the barrel guys, or like desperation picks, but still good enough to play. But you're like, I wish I could literally find anybody else.
Yeah.
And then there's everyone else. That's
somebody like, I don't know, Marquise Lee or DeSean Jackson, maybe.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, just definitely those guys. Yes. Yeah. So guys, you're definitely not happy with playing, but it's like, you know,
I got nobody else.
You got nobody else. Like your
all
main
my wide
guys
receivers
are
on bye.
You're 3 or 4 deep. Your other guys on a bye. Like this, and then of course your last ones are like your handcuffs. Like the guys you're never going to play unless other people get injured, and then they become a superstar all of a sudden.
So. Like James Conner.
Yeah, exactly. Bell, yeah, he's like injured. Every Le'Veon Bell backup is like that guy, because they some reason always go off.
Who is Todd Gurley's backup? Do you know?
I don't have any idea.
Yeah, I don't either. Yeah.
I honestly think they're screwed.
That's true. Their entire offense is dead.
Yeah.
DOA. So yeah, I completely agree with your list. I'm going to roll with that as well.
Yeah. So we'll kind of use that kind of tier system when we go through this.
Mm-hmm. So let's kick it off with the NFC South. Who better to start with than the hometown team, the Atlanta Falcons?
The Atlanta Falcons, man, they were like the number one offense, like
2 years
seventh.
Ago.
Seventh all-time offense.
Yeah, 2 years
ago,
right?
2 years ago. So, you got your all-stars on this team. So we're just going to list out some of the bigger players, and then we'll kind of give our ratings, or should we give our ratings as we go?
Well, we'll just chat through them. So let's talk about Matt Ryan, Matty Ice.
Matt Ryan.
Is he draftable?
Is he? I'm going to say no.
Yeah.
I'm going to say no. I'm going to say he's a very good backup, and if you're in a deep league, I'm talking like 16 teams, he's very good.
Yeah,
but, he's playable then, but he's not a guy you're happy playing if you're looking for fantasy points.
Like even his hot shot year
wasn't a great fantasy
it was good, but it's like everybody's a little questionable on him every week.
The biggest problem with Matt Ryan in this day and age, fantasy wise, is like you almost really need a quarterback that can also get you something with their legs.
Yeah.
Like if you can get 20-30 yards with your legs outside of passing, like that's extra 3 or 4 points that, you know, you're not going to get. That's why people like Matt Ryan and Matthew Stafford aren't as high picked, mm-hmm. even though they throw like 4,000 yards and 25, 30 touchdowns.
Well, Aaron Rodgers isn't getting you anything with his legs.
Well, but when he's throwing 5,000 yards and 40 touchdowns, it's a little bit better than what you get from these other guys. But also, he does pretty decent with his legs. So, I mean, I think he's underrated in that aspect. I think he can
Aaron
definitely
Rodgers?
Do the change. Yeah.
Really?
If you look at his rushing stats, I mean, he's not going to get you touchdowns probably, but he'll get you like 20 yards a game maybe.
That's very surprising.
Yeah. He's not going to get you yards. Anyway, we'll get to that. Getting off subject here.
RG3?
No, I was going to go with your boy Tom Brady. You know, he can't catch a pass to save his life. We'll get to that when we get to AFC.
Harsh. But then he always gets some rushing touchdown in the Super Bowl.
That's true.
Devonta Freeman. I love Devonta Freeman.
Oh, he is super so underrated right now.
Criminally underrated. Like, I've seen him go in drafts at the end of the second round, and that's just ridiculous.
That's insane. Yeah, for his talent, he definitely should be going to end of the first round. But if you can get him like early second, late second, you're getting a steal with Devonta Freeman. You're talking about a guy who's going to get like, unless he gets a concussion, knock on wood, he's going to get 20 touches a game.
Mm. He's matchup proof, really.
Yeah, you're talking like 100 yards and a touchdown a game. That's like 15, 16 points you're looking at almost every game. That's super solid.
Yeah.
So.
Julio Jones, man, it's weird. Like, Julio Jones owners last year were like, do I start him? Like, you have to, right? You spent a first-round pick on him. You have to start him.
Oh, yeah. Last year felt super bad as a Julio first-round pick if you drafted him in the first round. But I think it's the payoff year this year.
If you're
getting him this year, I don't know what it is. I just have a feeling like he's not going to get 3 touchdowns again. I think he's going to hit that, like... And it's a contract year, quote unquote, for Julio Jones. I mean, he's going to get a contract next year.
Yeah, it kind of is.
I mean, I would not be shocked to see him get like 1,400 yards and like maybe get double digit touchdowns.
Yeah, yeah, so no, that's what I'm like expecting. Like, I highly expect that this year.
So,
It was adjustment to the new Sarkisian system.
yeah, that too. And it's just like a fluke year almost. I don't know what happened.
So crazy, right?
So,
Tevin Coleman.
Tevin Coleman.
If you're in a keeper league, I feel like you got to take him at the end of the draft, at the very least. He'll probably go before that, but like if he's looming around in draft in rounds, obviously every keeper league has different rules, but
he feels like that very good, like not just a handcuff running back, but also like almost a staple guy, he's like almost that guy you want to play every week, even though he's not going to get as many touches because like he can also, if Devonta Freeman gets hurt, he's going to be insane.
Oh yeah, yeah. So
he might be the best handcuff running back in the league, maybe.
Yeah, yeah.
One of the best. I mean, I know we got Mark Ingram and Alvin Kamara, who we're going to talk about in a minute, but they're not really handcuffed to each other.
Yeah, they're not. Yeah, they have different roles.
Where Tevin Coleman, I feel like, will get a huge bump in production.
And he's on a contract year.
That's true, too. That's another thing. Mm-hmm. Contract years are insane in the NFL. And I don't know what it is.
That's why, especially for a keeper league.
If I'm like a GM, I'm like, can you do this for me every year, man?
Yeah.
Like, do I need to sign you to one-year deals?
If you're in a keeper league, he's going to be going somewhere next year. Steelers. Yeah,
they're going to need a running back.
Sanu, Ridley, Austin Hooper. I think they're all going to do great in the NFL this year, but I don't think they're draftable.
Oh no, pretty low tier guys. Just maybe pick them up on the wire. I foresee these guys like having like 2 or 3 good games eventually, and then like. You're like desperate because you're at the bottom of your league. You're going to drop some random guy. You're going to pick him up and you're going to play him a couple games and then you're going to be like, oh,
yeah,
this is what.
Yeah. Thanks. This is what I get.
Thanks. So, definitely not draftable. Maybe you pick him up. I'm sure they're going to get some fantasy play, but.
Touchdown here and there kind of thing.
But definitely top tier, Devonta. I mean, you have 2 top tier players on this team, Devonta Freeman and Julio Jones, for sure. Like, locks every week you're going to play these guys.
For sure. Let's talk about another team that's got 2 top tier locks every week. That is the New Orleans Saints.
Oh, man. And, it's not Ingram.
Yeah, it's not Mark Ingram. Who
or Drew Brees.
I know, right?
Those aren't the locks.
So I think if you're lucky enough to get Drew Brees super late, which for some reason
he's been
ranked
going really late.
Very low. Yeah. I guess they started shifting to a run heavy game, but
yeah, it's more of a 50-50 offense now, but still
the value is there on Drew Brees.
Oh yeah.
He's
definitely not gonna be like your top 5 QBs, maybe not even your top 6, but he definitely has a lot of value if you just wait it out. Just wait it out and then just pick him late.
I love him this year. I think he's top 6 this year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I could definitely see it. I think he's going to be when you look at those stats at the end of the year and it's like, oh, which players like were in the most championship games? It's going to be this guy because people are getting him so late.
Yeah, exactly. Like, it's so affordable. Like,
yeah. So it's insane. But Again, though, I don't think he's like that. I know he's been like the great solid QB. He's like the staple QB. He's not like the. He's not an Aaron Rodgers, or he's not like a. He's not like a. If Deshaun Watson gives you what he gave you last year, he's not like Deshaun Watson. You know.
But up until last year, he was that staple QB.
Oh no, he's definitely staple, but he's not like an all-star.
Last year.
Not even before last year.
No, he was always in like those top four quarterbacks.
I think he's always like giving you a solid, you could count on 15 to 16 points from him like every week, which is really good. But like the Aaron Rodgers and maybe even the Tom Brady's of the world were giving you like 20, 25 a week. And it's like, it's like that's the difference of being that all-star. You know, you want this guy for every single week, whereas, like, Drew Brees, maybe, you know, if he's playing against a Seattle or a Baltimore back in the day, it's like, I don't even know if I want to play him because he's going to throw two interceptions and only get one touchdown, and you're going to get, like, 12 points. It's like, ugh.
Really? I always had a different feeling for him. Like, he was a set-it-and-forget-it kind of guy no matter what for me.
I mean, when I had him, he did well for me, but I knew those games when we played against, like, the Seattle defense or – like, he's really struggling. Baltimore's the only team in the league he hasn't beat.
Wow, really?
Yeah, so we're not going to win this year. But, he struggled against those defenses that were just, like, incredible. Because we were so pass-heavy, they just guarded the pass. And then, you know, he throws, you know, two or three picks later. He's good for the touchdown every week. Like, yeah, sure. But when he's only getting, like, 200 yards, a touchdown, two or three picks, and it's like, nope, you're not getting any rushing yards. You're not getting any touchdowns. He's another one of those guys like Matt Ryan that was just, you know, you got to get 300 yards and three touchdowns to have a reasonable day.
Yeah, yeah.
So.
Speaking of rush. Oh, sorry, no. We're sticking with the Saints.
Yeah.
I'm all over the board here. Let's talk about the two locks, Alvin Kamara and Michael Thomas.
Man, Alvin Kamara is part of probably the best draft in NFL history.
Yeah. Well, Tom Brady in the sixth round.
Well, I mean, who else is in that draft? Anyway.
There is several.
No, that's fair.
Debatably, one of the best. I digress.
But still, yeah, me too. So, but Kamara is like insane. You're talking about a guy who isn't even getting full-time touches, and this guy is getting 1,000 yards rushing, and, you know, he's averaging like 1,000 yards receiving. He looks like he's going to have 1,000 year and probably like 15, 20 touchdowns this year, especially with Mark Ingram out for four games.
Yeah, I like that.
Like, this is a must-start every week guy.
Yeah,
He won me both of my leagues last year. Just randomly, you plug him in there, and he gets you like 20, 25 points. You're like, what?
And you're thinking, no chance that's a fluke here.
Yeah, no chance. I knew there was no chance. I remember this game, and I know I'm like into storytelling mode, but we were playing Redskins last year, and we were down by like 15 points with like 2 minutes to go, and he scores a touchdown right at the end of regulation, and then he scores like 50 yards in overtime, so he went from like a 6-point game to like a 20-point game in 2 minutes, and I won my game because of it. I was like, oh my God, I'm an Alvin Kamara fan for life. Like, he was insane that game.
Michael Thomas
is, he's like, the reason I say he's so good is because he's that staple guy who's like that step above staple now. It's like the staple guy who gives you like 8 or 9 points a game. This guy is going to get you like 10, 11 points a game. When he scores a touchdown, he's going to get you that 16. He's like pretty good for almost 100 yards every single game.
Yeah.
So
he's the go-to guy for Brees.
Yeah, and he's getting looks. Like he's in his first 2 years, he's gotten what, like over 200 catches. And that's pretty – I think that's the record for their first two years in the league. He beat OBJ. So, he is a lock for one of the top receivers in the league. He's not, like, flashy. He's not Antonio Brown or Julio Jones. He's not going to rack up, like, 1,500 yards or something insane. But he's going to get, you know, 1,100, 1,200 yards and, you know, 8 or 9 touchdowns, which is pretty good.
Yeah. Mark Ingram – I love drafting Mark Ingram right now. Like, I love getting players who are suspended because you get them at a discount, and it's a week-to-week game. So, hey, if I get Mark Ingram in the 8th round and just have him on my bench for 4 games, he's going to come back in. He's going to have work. Yeah, I love that.
No, I totally agree. I was all on Ezekiel Elliott last year for the same thing.
Exactly.
Like, Like, I was totally good for them missing the first six games of the year because I had it set up, but man, that whole situation messed me up in some leagues. But,
the Zeke thing was a little weird because we didn't know when he was going to be suspended.
Yeah, that's kind of rough, but when you know it's the first four games, like, he's going to be ready for playoff time and you're good to
buddy.
Go. So,
mm-hmm.
Oh, I think that's a very good pickup.
Yeah, like, I love Mark.
He's all about fresh legs and...
Like, I mean, you want to get him at the discount because Alvin Kamara is the guy, the running back for New Orleans now. But if you can get Mark Ingram late, like, I don't know, what would you say, like...
Like eighth
seventh,
round?
Eighth round?
Yeah.
I love it.
It looks like he went...
Eighth round. Yeah. That's perfect.
That's very good, yeah. So...
Is Benjamin Watson draftable?
No, definitely not.
Yeah, I agree.
He's old.
Yeah.
So...
Which just means better things for Kamara and Thomas.
Yeah, exactly. So I think the other players to mention, all the other wide receivers, Ted Ginn, Cale Meredith, they're below average. They're going to be like the lottery pick guy that's going to get you 100 yards and like a touchdown or two. Like once every five or six games, you're not going to know which one it is.
Yeah.
You just got to throw him in there and just pray to God. But mm-hmm. I think the other solid is Will Lutz. I think he's one of the best kickers in the league, which is incredible. Georgia State guy.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think the sleeper might be the defense this year. We started to show some lights last year. We're pretty deep at corner, which is like where you get all your interceptions. And we have a really nice D-line where you get your sacks.
Mm-hmm.
So
I love the defense as a streamer. But they have such a tough schedule. You guys go up, or sorry, not you guys. The Saints. The Saints go up against so many tough offenses this year.
That's true. You do have a lot. You have the Atlanta Falcons twice. You have, you know, if you want to count the Panthers with Cam Newton and.
Oh, no, I'm talking about outside of the division. Like, do you guys play the NFC North? Or, sorry, AFC North? Is that who you play this year?
We play. Oh, goodness. Who was it?
Well, check out the schedule. It's very difficult for the
I think that's
New
right.
Orleans Saints. Very difficult schedule for the offense.
Yeah, because we played Baltimore this year. So yeah, we played Pittsburgh, Baltimore, Cleveland, and Cincinnati.
Yeah, so I guess that doesn't scare you too much. You play the Steelers, right? The Steelers offense.
Yeah, that too. And we'll play Minnesota and
Rams.
The Eagles.
Yeah.
And then, I think we played that whole division.
Yeah.
So, we definitely played the Rams.
Yeah. Tough schedules coming up.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. But, maybe not. He's definitely not a starter every week guy. But I'm saying he's a sleeper, you know. You might see something out of him this year.
Moving on to the Carolina Panthers and Super Cam.
Not a fan of Super Cam.
You're not?
No, I don't.
I like Super Cam.
You know, when you look at Cam Newton, you have to look at the Carolina Panthers as a whole and how they do. And it seems like every other year they have a good year and a bad year.
Yeah, but I don't believe in the superstition. Like, I get it. It's been for a long time. And we know that the Saints aren't winning the division this year because nobody ever wins it two times in a row.
Yeah, well, we know that Tampa Bay is going to win a division this year, right?
Wow. That would be harsh. Something else. As we've kind of mentioned, I like Cam Newton because he's a running quarterback.
Yeah, we've talked a little bit about running quarterbacks, and I think they bring that little extra value that maybe he's not that top-tier passer, but that little bit of, like, every now and then you get a rushing touchdown, you're going to get 20, 30, maybe even 50 yards a game from him.
Right.
That means a lot.
Yeah. So. I like his weapons this year as well. I like some of his weapons this year.
Yeah, particularly Christian McCaffrey.
I like Christian McCaffrey. Yeah. And that's who we're rolling right into next. He's had a really nice offseason.
Yeah.
Or not offseason, preseason.
Preseason, yeah. And, I mean, and given that they promised to give him a lot more touches, like a every down back type touch, I mean, that just means a lot in general.
They say that, and then they bring on C.J. Anderson.
Yeah, but, like, I mean, honestly, C.J. Anderson, I just feel like he's just a name. Like, I think we sort of mentioned this a little bit in our previous podcast when we were just talking about the first few rounds of the draft and the running back in the 49ers, who is just like a name there. Like, I don't think he's going to be like pulling any carries from Alfred Morris.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. So I think he's just there. I don't think he's going to take any carries away. I don't think he ruins any value for anybody. I think he's just a guy.
He's the guy who comes in and gives Christian McCaffrey or
like a breather for Jared like McKinnon. Two or three three downs. Yeah, so yeah,
exactly.
I don't think he's anyone to worry about. No, nobody's stealing jobs.
Yeah, Christian McCaffrey's got it on lockdown.
Yeah,
Devin Funches, DJ Moore, the rookie, and Torrey Smith, the veteran, are all catching passes from Cam Newton. Trying to catch passes from Cam Newton.
I know DJ Moore probably has a lot more hype than some of the other guys, but...
Oh, the rookie, you know, they're always...
Yeah, they're always hyped up, but I'm not, honestly not a fan of any of these wide receivers.
I'm not drafting any of these guys.
Yeah, I would stay away. Mm-hmm. If you happen to get one, hopefully you got them really late, and hopefully they're just on your bench as depth, because that's pretty decent depth, probably, but... I don't think these are guys I'm going to be wanting to get me that 8 to 10 points a game.
Man.
I don't think I want to count on that.
Devin Funches is your number one wide receiver on the team. Where are you comfortable drafting him? He's a WR1 for a team.
Where am I drafting him?
Where are you comfortable drafting him?
Oh, super late. I'm thinking like... You know, in that range of like you're just trying to find a guy and you're like, oh, here's a number one receiver on a team, I guess I'll draft that guy. I'm thinking like the 10th roundish, 8 to 10 maybe, something like that. But just when you get to the point, you've already gotten all your starting wide receivers, you've gotten all your starting running backs, you got one guy on the bench who's like filling in the bye week roles. Mm-hmm. You got your quarterback already.
Yeah.
Like you're like, oh, it's too early to draft like defense and kickers, and I'm not going to draft a second quarterback, so I guess I'll find a wide receiver or running back that's value. It's like maybe you draft Funches. That's when you draft him.
He is going in the 10th round right now, so it's kind of
what you would expect, right? Yeah, exactly.
Would you rather have Devin Funches or Sammy Watkins?
Ooh, that's tough, but I think I would rather have... Ooh, that's close. That's real close. One guy's getting paid a lot more money than the other guy.
That is true. One guy's getting paid more money than Julio Jones. So. I'm taking Sammy Watkins.
I think I'd lean towards Sammy Watkins. But you got to remember, they have another wide receiver there that's really good in Kansas City. So.
Oh, right. Yeah. So. Well, that's why Sammy Watkins is so low. What about, let's see. Would you rather have Devin Funches or Kelvin Benjamin? Hey, there's a fun one.
I think I'd rather have Devin Funches. Mostly because Kelvin Benjamin's about 100 pounds overweight.
I think I'd rather have Kelvin Benjamin, actually.
All right. Oh, I got a good one.
Yeah.
Would you rather have Devin Funches or Randall Cobb?
Oh, Devin Funches.
Really?
Yeah.
All right. Well, we'll get into that later.
Again, he's the wide receiver one on the team.
Interesting.
I don't need to look for a wide receiver two that's not going to do anything for me. But we'll get into the Packers later.
And then finally, you know, Greg Olsen, who has been the all-star tight end for the last few years, who's kind of, you know, taking a step back. You know, he's talked about retirement. He got injured a lot last year. And it's like, can you really depend on him to be that tight end for you?
I mean, so if you don't get Gronk, Kelsey, really, I'm just going to leave it there. If you don't get Gronk or Kelsey, it's kind of a crapshoot for tight end. He is in...
that next tier of, like, staple tight ends.
He's in that next tier of staple tight ends, but he's near the bottom for me.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with that.
He's looking at retirement already. Like, he almost retired this year.
Yeah, if he falls in my lap in the draft, like, way late, I'm talking, like, right before some of the other guys start coming off, like the...
I would probably take him as, like, tight end 8 or 9.
Yeah, somewhere in that range, yep. Yeah. Like, you're the last guy who hasn't drafted a tight end yet or something along those lines.
Like right above, like, Kyle Rudolph, I think, is where I'd put him.
Yeah.
And that's the whole NFC South, right? There's no other teams, just the three?
Yeah, just the three. Doesn't matter. The other one...
Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
They have a terrible slate at the start of their season.
Fire the cannons.
Yeah, well, I don't think they're going to be firing many cannons in Tampa.
They'll be firing coaches, at least.
Yeah.
Jameis Winston suspended for 3 games.
So that's a good thing for you.
I love suspended players, and quarterback is not one that really affects me very much. Quarterback is just so deep.
Yeah.
If Tom Brady or Aaron Rodgers get suspended, you could take a lot of advantage of that.
Yeah, we've seen in the past.
Oh, man, that Tom Brady suspension year, I got him so late. It was awesome. But the James Winston, undraftable right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, totally undraftable.
Definitely a streamer, though. He's had some good games.
Yeah, you could definitely pick him up like off the right after week three or right before week three, and you're like, yeah, might need a quarterback depth.
He chunks that ball down the field, and
I mean, he's got usually good weapons,
his team.
Too.
Usually his team gets it.
Yeah, usually. Yeah, you know, 50-50.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, and the thing I think we mentioned about suspensions is how they affect other players.
Yes, and that is the beauty of Mike Evans this year.
Yeah.
Going in the third round, Mike Evans. Like, Mike Evans is an amazing
wide
receiver.
You're talking like a Julio Jones, Odell Beckham, like Antonio Brown level player.
Yeah. And he's going in the third round.
Yeah, that's super good.
Nab him if you can.
Definitely. So I think he's kind of an all-star. He's going to definitely be the best offensive player on their team, in my opinion.
Would you take him in the second round?
It depends on how the... It depends... Would I take him in the second round? I think if so many wide receivers had gotten taken at that point... Because I'm thinking like he's probably like the... 8th or 9th, maybe 10th wide receiver I'd take.
Really?
So,
yeah, you got your like Antonio Brown, your Julio Jones, your
Odell Beckham
Jr.
DeAndre Hopkins, Keenan Allen, Michael Thomas, A.J. Green. And then after that, then you got like T.Y. Hilton maybe, or Devontae Adams, T.Y. Hilton, Mike Evans are in that kind of range.
Oh, like, so Mike Evans is above A.J. Green for me this year.
Yeah, see.
And,
I don't know. I think they're about on the same level.
I'd put him at the level of Thomas... Keenan Allen. Yeah, Thomas
Keenan
Allen.
I put him definitely below those guys.
Yeah.
But I have a lot of, you know, high hopes for Michael Thomas.
But the big thing about it is you can grab two great running backs in round 1 and 2 and then end up with Mike Evans as your wide receiver.
Yeah, that is solid 3 picks.
Hell yeah. I like that.
3, like, sit them and forget them players? Ooh.
Ooh, yeah.
Then you get Aaron Rodgers in the 4th round? Oh.
I don't know about that.
But as far as their other wide receivers,
Deshaun Jackson. Yeah, he is a great, still a great player, I think. And the problem there is that it's just not working for me.
Yeah.
The Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Yeah, no, he's just on the wrong team. Like, he has a decent skill set, and maybe he's just getting old at this point. That's why we don't see it. But I think it's just like their scheme is just not right for Deshaun. He hasn't been good since he got there.
If he had a more accurate quarterback, I would love to pick up Deshaun Jackson.
Yeah.
It's just I don't trust Jameis Winston to put the ball where it needs to be for Deshaun Jackson. He's fast, and
I
love
agree
him.
With that.
There's Peyton Barber and Ronald Jones, the rookie, competing for the starting running back position.
Yeah, I have zero interest in either one of these backs.
Yeah, they're going to be playing from behind the entire season. I don't like it.
Yeah, I'm not a fan. They might get 15 carries, one of them. I don't know.
Golly. I mean, Ronald Jones is going fairly high right now because he's the rookie. You know, he's unproven. Hey, you know. It's weird that rookies almost get like the benefit of the doubt. Rookie running backs,
well, especially if they had such a good college career. But
you can get Peyton Barber off the waiver wire, really. Like,
yep.
If you're desperate for running backs, maybe pick him up.
And then of course the tight end position.
Mm-hmm.
So nothing too interesting here. You know, Cameron Brate's like your solid. You know, 4 or 5 point guy. Maybe he gets you a touchdown every 4 or 5 weeks. But then you have O.J. Howard, who was having kind of a strong year in like the middle of the year before he got hurt. You know, he had a few games where he kind of went off and shows you like that potential. I don't think he's worth. I mean, unless you get him super late, maybe it's like a second tight end or something, or just watch him on the waiver wire. He might be someone you want to keep an eye on, but.
He's going super late,
definitely not an early guy that's going to be dependable. But I mean, he might be a guy that catches fire, and you're like, oh, I need to, you know, he might be that guy you pick up off waivers, and then all of a sudden there's always those players, every year that you just pick up off waivers, and then they start scoring 10 to 12 points a game, and hope you're the guy they pick someone. He might be one of those players that do that,
like Kenyon Drake of last year,
yeah, exactly,
like that. Yeah,
someone like that.
And then probably the most meaningful player on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, Adam Humphreys.
Adam Humphreys.
Your brother from another mother.
Yeah. Yep.
Good notes. Good notes.
Good talk.
So.
He probably spells his last name wrong, too.
He does indeed. He can't even spell so that CTE. So, we got Atlanta, New Orleans, Carolina, and the Buccaneers. Who wins the division?
Well, I obviously am going with the New Orleans Saints because they only have gotten better since last year. And they're definitely not going to miss a tackle at the end of the game. So, I've been watching Williams, the safety who missed the tackle. He's been having like an insane offseason. He was on Instagram like pumping iron and and doing all these like training drills and stuff. He looks like a beast, dude. He might be an all pro safety this year.
So I did my predictions for the divisions. I have the Saints sneaking in as wild card number two. And as I go through the playoffs, who do they meet up in the playoffs on their home turf but the Minnesota Vikings?
Oh, goodness.
Oh, a time for redemption. That could be good for you guys, right?
Yeah, we'll take that. We'll take it. No, you know, we're playing at home. We're going to get home field throughout.
Yeah.
No. Wait, so you have three teams again.
I have three teams from the NFC South going to the playoffs. The Saints, as I mentioned, get wild card number two. The Panthers get wild card number one, and Atlanta wins the division.
Wow.
Yeah, Carolina going. Yeah, 13-3 for both Atlanta and Carolina.
13-3.
Atlanta gets the tiebreaker, and then the Saints go 12-4.
I'm not even sure Carolina breaks 500. Honestly,
what?
Yeah,
I will give you a fire bet that they break 500.
Their offense is just so mediocre, and I think their defense is just. I just don't see it. I will take. Wait, what are we doing? They make the playoffs? Or
I was saying that they break 500.
Oh. But
I'll give you a fire bet that they make the playoffs.
All right, I'll do that.
All right. And with that, that is the NFC South Fantasy Relevance Recap.
Yeah, so until next time.
I'm Rob.
And I'm Jay Hump.
And we will be back tomorrow with an NFC North Fantasy Relevance Breakdown.
All right.